saying that it is always a joy and a privilege to get to come and worship with you good folks here at Union Chapel. I love this church, and I love to be. I told someone earlier, what I love about coming here is the excitement within the church, the freedom within the church to just worship the Lord. And I love that. And you don't find that at every church. You really don't. And so I'm thankful for that, and I appreciate your pastor's confidence in me. I say this often. I may have said it here before. I don't know. But I pastored, as y'all know, South Hamilton for 18 years. And this pulpit is my responsibility. You know, and I was always very cautious as to who I allowed in my pulpit. So I appreciate your pastor's confidence in me and allowing me to come and to be with y'all and to share what God has laid on my heart this week. And it is so amazing the way that God confirms to me and my heart what He wants me to preach. This morning I was listening to a gentleman whom I love, who I'm very dear friends with, and we've spent a lot of time together in services and different things of that nature. And Brother Kevin Ham, and he was preaching, and I, after he got through, I told my wife, I said, it is amazing how closely related the message that he just shared with his people is the message that God has led me to share with this church on this day. I said, that just amazes me, the way that God confirms things. And then I get here, and we begin to sing the songs, and people begin to give the testimony as we started. And it just amazed me at the way that God confirmed to me, sitting there, exactly what He wants me to share with His people this morning. And the first thing I want to share with you folks is Jesus is enough. He's the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. And I hope that if you know Jesus, you feel that way this morning. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Master of the universe. There's not a thing in this world that Jesus can't handle. And I know that everybody thinks that we're nuts, okay? I've been told that on more than one occasion, that I'm just a religious fanatic and a nut. I said, glory to God, I'd be a nut for Jesus. You know, if that's the way the world perceives us, okay, so what? Who cares? They're not affecting me. Hopefully I'm going to affect them. But Jesus is enough. And today, this morning, what I want to talk to us about is the faithfulness of God. That He is faithful. That He is there. A lot of times we feel alone. A lot of times we feel scared. How many of you have ever felt that way? You could be in the middle of a great big old crowd and feel all by yourself. Feel lonely. You got things going on in your life. You got things going on at work, or things going on at school, or depression, or hard times, or whatever. And those things begin to pile up on one another. And you can feel isolated and all alone sitting in the middle of this big old crowd. And maybe you feel that small and that alone this morning. But I want you to know something. If you know Jesus, you are not alone. You've got the biggest in the world sitting right there with you. And there's not a thing in this world that He can't handle. So, let me share with us out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. That's right before 2 Thessalonians, by the way, if you're looking for it. I'm a smart aleck, aren't I? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Everybody there? Let's stand together as we read God's Word together. The Bible says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Will y'all read that with me, please? Here we go. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Pause with me and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, it's with humility that I bow in Your presence this morning. always mindful of who you are. You are the Lord God Almighty, creator and sustainer of everything, the one who is in control, always has been in control, always will be in control, Father. The world will tell the lies that this thing is spinning out of control, but that's never been the case. You are bringing our world around to the day that we can say glory because our King is coming in the eastern sky. Father, I praise your holy name, and I pray that it would be today that we could see our King. But God, as we tarry, God, it is my prayer that you will be high and lifted up, and you will receive glory and honor in everything that we do every day, but especially on this day. I pray that you bar Satan from this place. You don't allow him to enter the hearts and the minds of people so that God, your Holy Spirit, can flow free and that our lives can be changed forever because of this day. God, I pray you use me as your servant. Don't let my sin or my problems or my loneliness or my depression or whatever may come upon me, don't let me keep things from taking place that your Holy Spirit is doing today. Father, I know your word stands alone. I understand that your word is enough. But you also tell us in your word that by the foolishness of preaching that souls will be saved. So Father, I pray that you use my effort. You've called me, Lord. I pray you use my effort to win souls to your kingdom. And for those of us who know you, to change our lives so that we'll never be the same as we leave from this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you this morning, y'all gonna think I'm gonna preach a depressing sermon this morning, but I can promise you by the time I'm through, I'm not, okay? So let me just get started, all right? How many of you this morning feel that things are bad and just seem to be getting worse? Amen? So many atrocities happening. Every day, I mean, we got everything at our fingertip. I mean, our phones are just mini computers. We have news instantly from all over the world. Everything is just so instant. So we hear about atrocities happening just almost the second that they happen, of murders and rapes and drugs and trafficking, and the list just keeps piling up and going on and on and on, and the atrocities in Israel and around the world, and then we asked ourselves the question, why is this happening? Well, I mentioned Brother Kevin Ham earlier, and he gave some statistics the other day, and I jotted those down, and I wanted to share those with you today to add to your depression that I'm preaching about right now, okay? America has 332 million people. 253 million of those people are not Christians. Of the 79 million who claim to be Christians, listen to this. 3 out of 10 of those only attend church sporadically. World population is 8 billion. 7 billion are lost without Jesus. Alabama has 5 million people. Only 1.7 million are church members. Notice I said church members. I didn't say Christians. Okay? 3,256 Southern Baptist churches in Alabama. 676 of those churches baptized 0 last year. 1,120 Alabama Southern Baptist churches baptized 5 or less last year. In 1972, the Southern Baptist Convention baptized 140,000 teenagers. Last year, the Southern Baptist Convention baptized 75,000 teenagers. That's across the convention, y'all. 91% of churches are stagnant or declining. Now, we hear stuff like this, and we kind of feel like it's becoming a lost cause, don't we? We kind of feel like there's just no hope. But folks, hear me on this. That is a lie straight from Satan. With Jesus, there is assurance. With Jesus, there is always, always, always hope. Old preacher I used to hear one time, he used to preach and he would say, look, if you feel like that you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on, Jesus is coming. Sometimes we feel like we get to the end of that rope. Sometimes we feel like there's no way out. There's no way that we can overcome. There's nothing else that we can do. But folks, with Jesus, there's always a way. He is still King of Kings, no matter what the world may say. He is still Lord of Lords, no matter what other religions may claim. He is still the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He started everything off. He was there when the world was created. He will be the end when He comes and breaks through the eastern sky and He comes to get His people and take us home. And then when He plants one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and He declares that He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords for all of eternity. He is our coming Messiah. If we can't find hope in anything else, we can find assurance and hope in the fact that He is coming. He is our Messiah. He is our rescuer. He is the one that's going to deliver us out of all of this mess. Y'all, it seems like we just step out of one mess and into another here lately, doesn't it? Listen, regardless of how adverse the world looks and how hopeless the circumstances may seem, a child of God still has the solid rock assurance that our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength lies in the faithfulness of God. Habakkuk looked at the circumstances that were going on around him, and they were rotten, okay? They were awful. And listen to what he said. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Listen to what he said. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He's faithful. Jesus never, 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 never fails. So as we look at this text that I've shared with us this morning in 1 Thessalonians, I want us to see how and why that He can't fail, okay? First of all, let's look at our calling. Our calling. He said in that verse, faithful is He that calleth you. You know what that says to me? You know, the old devil will mess with me sometimes. Who in the world are you to be standing up here preaching? Don't you remember who you were? Don't you remember what you did? Some of you sitting out there may have known me before the Lord got hold of me. If you do, you're kind of grinning right now because you know who I was. You know what I did. You know how I lived. You know how I acted. But you know what? The old devil can't win in that argument because he didn't call me. My sin didn't call me. My ungodliness and my filth that I once was didn't call me. The Lord Jesus called me up out of that and placed me on a different plane. And He called me and He's faithful to that calling. So we can't let the devil win when he starts tagging after us. and messing with us and trying to make us doubt who God is and who we are in Him. He did the calling. Romans 11 and 29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." So what that means is that God is not going to rescind or revoke our calling. Hallelujah. It's an eternal thing. God did it. Our calling is not our doing. It's God's doing. So we can shout about it because it's a done deal. So now you're thinking, well, what did He call us for? Right? Glad you asked. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's right before 2 Corinthians, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Listen to this. Starting in verse 26. "For we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." God has called us to the confounding ministry. Bible tells us that God has chosen the base things, the despised things, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are magnified and glorified by this world. Our calling is all on God's shoulders. For whatever reason, we are His choice. And however foolish or weak we may feel, verse 25 there says, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Now that word "confound" in verse 27 there in 1 Corinthians means to put to shame. Now why would God want to put anyone to shame? That, you know, I ask these crazy questions, you know. Well, verse 29 gives us the answer. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, flesh stands for people in our own ability and human nature apart from Christ. In essence, people like to substitute themselves and their pride for God. Amen? God is calling for us as human beings to recognize God as who He is and bow to His lordship and understand that we are nothing without Him. Now, not only do we see our calling there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, back over there, we also see His commitment. Listen to what He's committed to do. It says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." That kind of takes us out of the picture, doesn't it? When you think about it, think about that. Living the Christian life is not hard at all. It's impossible. Jesus didn't call us to live the Christian life. I know I just confused you there. Hang on, I'm going to finish it. If I stopped right there, I'd be sinning, wouldn't I? Listen to what He called us to. He called us to be available to Him so that He could live His life through us. That's what he called us to do, because, folks, in our sinful nature, it's impossible for us to follow what this book says. If it's entirely left up to us without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, we'll choose sin every time. It's in our nature. Jesus didn't call us to live that life. He called us to be available so that he could live that life through us. He made the commitment. He has to do it because we can't. What he asked for us to do is to abide so that he can produce fruit through us. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus was telling us to abide in, he said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine. Then Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't produce life. Only Jesus can do that. But it does not excuse us from sharing with other people about this life in order that Jesus can produce that life in them. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life, but he added something on that that I praise God for. He said, and that you might have it more abundantly. There's lots of people who think that we're supposed to walk through this life looking like that we were raised on prune juice and weaned on dill pickles. They think we're supposed to be the orneriest, meanest, most cantankerous people that ever walked on earth. I'm holy. I'm righteous. Y'all, that's not the life that Jesus suffered and bled and died for. That's not the life that he went to the grave and overcame death, hell, and the grave for. He said, I want you to have an abundant life. What's an abundant life? He wants us to laugh. He wants us to smile. He wants to love us to love on one another and enjoy one another. And let me throw this one in here that's one that God just gave me. So whoever this is for, God bless you. And live at peace with one another. You know, and there's a way that we live at peace with one another. The Bible describes it for us. My Bible tells me that if I'm in the altar here and I'm sacrificing my tithes and my prayer and everything else, and I realize that there's a brother or sister out there that's got something against me, then my job, first job before I do all of this, is to go out there and in every way that I possibly can make that right between me and that brother or sister. And then come back and give and be who God's called me to be. That's the peace that God wants. And it's a peace that passes all understanding that we get from the Lord. We don't always understand what God's telling us to do, do we? You know what I have found, though? If I'm obedient, even when I don't understand what God's telling me to do, I'll be blessed. If I'm disobedient, as God is telling me to do something, there's a hiney spanking coming for old Keith, okay? I nearly said butt whooping, but I thought I'd try to correct it up a little bit, okay? Some of y'all don't know what a butt whooping is. Y'all didn't know C.W. Box. How in the world did I get there from here? I don't either. Anyway, God wants us to have abundant life. He wants us to enjoy this life. He wants us to laugh. He wants us to walk through this life. Now, he understands that everything's not always going to be roses, all right? He understands that sometimes we're going to get the thorns. He gets that. But that's the joy of him being in control of everything, because he's right there with us. Amen? Amen. That's his commitment. Abiding is living in absolute dependence on the Lord. Do you depend on the Lord, or do you depend on yourself this morning? Have you ever sat down in a situation and just had your head in your hands and said, what in the world am I going to do? What's wrong with that statement? Yeah. And we all do it. When we get in a tight situation, the first thought in our mind is, what am I going to do? When it shouldn't be, because, listen to me, we just need to live in absolute dependence on the Lord, because God doesn't need our help. We need His. He's committed. We just need to commit to His commitment. And if we'll do that, then that abundant life starts pepping up. Now finally, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 24, let's look at His character. His character, not mine. If you look at mine, you're going to find flaws. Hey, by the way, don't ever set people up on pedestals. Because sooner or later, they're going to fall off of it, and it's not only going it's going to hurt them, but it's also going to hurt you. You don't put people up on pedestals. I promise you, if you look at my life hard enough, you're going to find something that you're going to say, I can't believe he did that. Or I can't believe he said that. Or I can't believe that situation happened in his eye. You're going to find something. You know why? Because I'm a sinful human being saved by the grace of God. That's why. So don't put people up on pedestals. Preachers, pastors, whoever, your favorite human being in the world, remember, they're human beings. All right, let's look at his character. It says, faithful is he. Now, we have to ask the question there, who is he? Who is he? You know, God is called many names in the Bible, but all of those are really just expressions of his nature. God really only has one name, and we find it in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, where God said to Moses, he said, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh so that you can bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then Moses said, well, when I get to the children of Israel in Egypt, and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, then God, they're going to ask me, well, what's his name? He said, well, what do I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. You say this to the children of Israel, Moses. You tell them, I am has sent me to you. God has only one name, and his name is I am. I am is the God of the present tense. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. He never changes. God, according to the Bible, is the same yesterday and today and forever. So, whoever you read of the Jesus of the past is the same Jesus of today and will be the same Jesus tomorrow. He doesn't ever change. People try to twist him and make him change, but God never changes. And yes, I use Jesus and God interchangeably because they are one and the same. He is the all-knowing, all-wise, self-existing, self-sufficient God. In John chapter 8 and verse 53, the Jews asked Jesus, are you greater than our father Abraham? And Jesus said in verse 56, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and he was glad. And then the Jews then said to Jesus, they said, you're not yet 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? Remember, Abraham been gone a long time up to this point, okay? Then Jesus said this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. How cool is that? How cool is that? He is always I am. And we're wondering, well, who is he? Well, the answer is, he's anything and everything we need. If we're hungry, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. If we're thirsty, he said, he's living water. If we need a leader, he said, I am the good shepherd. If we need light, he said, I'm the light of the world. Listen, y'all. When the great I Am speaks and declares from his word, then he wouldn't be God if it didn't happen. Amen? Numbers 23 and 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? We can trust God. There's not a lot of things out there we can trust. But God is faithful. Philippians 2, 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Romans 8, 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Luke 1, 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Listen to me, y'all. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I know that things sometimes look grim from the world's point of view. I understand that. I get it too. Seems like every time we turn around, Teresa's got a new health issue. We're headed back to the hospital. She's in there not too long ago. Now she's got pulmonary hypertension along with everything else she's got. Reason she's not here this morning. She, until they get her medicine straightened out, she can't even hardly walk across the parking lot without getting out of breath. I understand. Things get tough. They get hard. But you know what she did this morning before I left? She said, tell them I'm sorry I couldn't make it. I wanted to be there so bad. But also let them know that you and I knelt and prayed together this morning before you left so you'd be prepared to go. I know that things sometimes look hard from the world's point of view. But hear me on this. We're not looking from the world's point of view. We are looking from our great God's point of view. And we can shout with Jeremiah, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, God rarely gives me a message just to be giving me a message. Okay? I believe wholeheartedly that God gives me his message to speak to someone, to touch someone, and to change somebody's life. Probably more mine than anybody else's. But I want you to know that whatever you're dealing with this morning, first of all, God is greater than what you're dealing with. And secondly, God is faithful. So when he tells us, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, what does that mean? If we belong to him, what does that mean? Bible says, Jesus said, I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. What does it mean? It don't matter how bad it gets in this world. It don't matter what other people may think or say. It don't matter what is piling in on top of you right now. What matters is for us to remember that God is greater than all of that. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. If he does, he's a liar and he's not God. And I would never dare to call him that. So we need to understand today that no matter what we're dealing with as we walk through this life, we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that loves us enough to die for us, and he's going to take care of us. Now, things may get tough, but see, there's one thing that we forget as the church today, is that this is not our home. And when we leave from this world, of course we mourn those that we lose, correct? But we also forget sometimes that they're home. Those who knew the Lord, they're home. We're traveling, we're sojourners, traveling through this world to our destination, which is with God. Do you long for that day? Or does it scare the daylights out of you? If it scares you, you might want to double check what's going on in here. We as the children of God ought to be praying every day, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come on back, Lord, I'm ready to go to the... My granddaddy used to say, let's go to the house. I'm ready to go to the house. I'm ready to see my King. I'm ready for all this mess that Satan's created and hurting all these babies. And I'm ready for all of that to be wiped off of the slate. And let's just live in the presence of God for forever. Woo, can you imagine? Listen to me, you're not alone this morning. I promise you, you're not alone. God's right here with you, and He knows what you're dealing with. And He's ready to walk with you through it. But you know, sometimes we just feel the need to just come up here and just word it out to Him and just talk to Him about it. I've never had a time when I've knelt in God's altar that He didn't meet me there. So during our invitation time, I'm going to encourage you. If you just need to say, God, I really need to feel, I don't really feel you that strong right now with what I'm going through. God, I really need to feel you today. Come on. Maybe you got some questions that are unanswered and you just need to tell God, God, I really need your help. I'm struggling. Come on. But most importantly, if you don't know my Jesus, the greatest thing in the world that could happen today is if you come to know my Jesus as your personal Savior. Listen, if He'll save me, He'll save anybody. I'm so thankful for that word, whosoever, in John 3:16. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. That's anybody, y'all. If you'll bow before a holy God and confess your sin and tell Him you believe in Jesus, He'll save your soul. So this morning we're going to stand together. We're going to have an invitation time for whoever needs to be coming up. We're going to stand together and just let God's Holy Spirit take over is what I want to happen, because it's not about me and it's not anything I can do anyway. So I'm just going to shut my mouth right now and I'm just going to let God's Holy Spirit do whatever God's Holy Spirit is going to do in this place today. So whenever y'all are ready.